Welcome to the Feral Minds Podcast. You are right where you need to be, and we are glad you're here. Come seek with us as we laugh at what we have known and find direction from what our curiosities demand we learn. All right, we got a thought line contribution here. This came in from the website. It's theferalminds.com. After listening to the fear episode, I realized that I'm instilling fear into my child. Any thoughts on how to maintain discipline with a four-year-old boy without using fear? Asked Brad from Kansas City. Kansas City is the water fountain capital of the world. Were you aware of that?
The water fountains?
Not of the world. I think Rome has more. They're the water fountain capital of the United States.
Are you serious? Public water fountains?
Public, like shoot it up in the air, throw pennies in it?
No, I was talking the drinking ones.
No. This is...
Is that bizarre that I got way more excited about the drinking fountains than I did the ornate fountains?
I think it anchors to how many water fountains were there in your life? Like in Woodward, Oklahoma, did you have water fountains?
No, you say water fountain. Growing up in Woodward,
you're
only
thinking
thing...
You're pushing the bar, get water in your mouth, do one of those.
That's it. Now, when you say that it's the Vivid blah, 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 the only fountain that came right into my mind was the one in Chicago on the start of Married with Children.
Okay, well, that is the kind of fountain we're talking about.
I get it now.
Kansas City's got
still,
a lot
to this day, of them. More excited about drinking water fountains.
Yeah, no, they like their water hard there. Okay, there's no place for soft water. They want that Viagra'd up water.
Just right? Shooting it up in the air.
No limp water can be had in Kansas City.
Better be on attention.
good water, good barbecue, stiff water. That's what I know about Kansas City. So what do you have? You are a father of a 16-year-old boy?
Yeah, man. Getting close.
I'm a father of a 6-year-old boy. I'm a little early on this journey.
Well, now you're a father three times, though.
Three times. This is my first male adventure.
I hear the question. It does echo across the sexes, though. How to discipline without putting fear in there.
It was never even a question. The other two girls, you know, discipline's been a little issue, but boys just have a destructive nature to them that requires that riverbank that you like to refer. You got to have a little riverbank. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really realize this until my boy's kind of hitting this right now, where I got to watch hey, I was having a good time, but now there's a hole in the drywall. It just escalates real fast. And if he's with his little buddies, dude, they're like rabid bears on each other. I mean, they'll just be rolling around in the dirt. And I don't remember if I was that way. I may have. Like, I don't remember being six that well. But there's a lot of energy there. And I've certainly been in a place where I've not exactly known when to discipline and when not.
That's interesting. So, because I've never really had to deal with it. And I often, like one time, as you were just talking about that.
You never had to deal with what?
Discipline? With disciplining a young girl.
Okay.
And at one time, my son had a friend that had come over. It was a young girl. This is, you know, we're talking second grade, whatever. Mm-hmm. And whenever she was getting dropped off, as this 7-8-year-old girl, one of the parents was kind of being stern, like, you know, make sure you behave. Don't. And as I was watching it happen, it's like, this is a little girl. How should you behave? Like, what you going to do wrong? I just didn't, in my mind, girls could do no wrong.
Yeah.
Which, there's probably some incorrect viewpoint on that. But, yeah, I can't imagine trying to put discipline on, well, now, any small living being.
Yeah, so tell us what have you learned?
Oh.
What is an effective manner to discipline and where'd you screw up along the way?
All right. So, yeah, I guess.
If you so you care want, to embarrass
you
want, yourself.
Would you rather hear what I've learned or how I learned it first?
How you going to help Brad?
Man, I would say, first off, make sure you are aware what emotion you're coming from at the time you're bringing the discipline. Too often, as a parent, and this kind of goes as any person, you always have any option at your disposal. Now, in certain situations, one emotion might raise its hand a little bit more. Hey, pick me. Like a situation with a child that you've got to discipline. Very often, the emotion that raises its hand isn't love, isn't care. It oftentimes is anger.
Yeah.
Fear. Fight or flight. is what.
What's the anger about, though? What is the anger about? That's what I've always been curious about. Because when I get angry at my kids, it can kind of go two ways. If I'm really aware of it, then I'm not really angry at my kids. I'm kind of angry at my parenting. And so I never know if I'm really, am I angry at myself?
You know there's a flying failure and you don't even know what's causing it.
Yeah. Or am I, you know, there's always been that confusion with you trying to make them into yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've all got lost on that island for a while. And that's a frustrating place to be because almost by definition, anthropology does not want your children be like you.
Well, and think about this too. Now you're judging them through your lens of your acceptance of you. And I did this with my own child for a while.
I feel like you have to.
I can't even get all the terrible things I've done parenting out before we can get to the next one. But that's another perfect example of another reason why I'm going to tell you the punchline right now that one of the best ways is to not discipline very much at all.
Totally hands off?
As little as possible. Because, and here's one of the facets that I support that with, is what are you to even know what really is right or wrong for that child? And oftentimes, you're doing exactly what you just said. You are judging them through the lens of what you've gone through in your behavior, and then punishing them accordingly based on what you think. You are really just projecting your own judgment and insecurity onto that child. Even if it seems great, a societal norm on this not being accepted, in some way, shape, or form, whenever you start coming from that place, it shows that you haven't grown or gotten complete as a child, or grown into an adult.
You're saying if you're trying to over instill fear as a means of control?
Well, if you're coming from a place of fear in your discipline because of a judgment in their behavior.
Okay.
If that helps at all. It sort of speaks to one of my favorite things.
I'm still a confused
parent. Let me say it this way. You know how they'll say funerals are for the living?
Yeah.
Not for the dead?
Okay.
It really comes down to that with the discipline as well. The discipline that comes out of the parent is more indicative of that parent than it really is any corrective behavior in that child.
Okay.
And I got into a point of seeing this with mine after years of raising him, trying to figure out, you know, do I spank? Do you time out? How do you get them to behave in this manner? I learned that less is more.
You learned that, or did the child grow up and need less of you? That's what I'm always confused about. Some of it's their maturation. Some of it is your evolution. Some of it is you trying to correct. So if you went too hard as a parent, if you were too aggressive with them, and now you're trying to deal with the burden of that guilt, and now you're just going to let them get away with anything, like where did you start to discover, okay, I found the right spot between worrying about their concern and backing off and letting them be whoever the person they're supposed to grow into?
Well, see, the two things you want to split there are corrective behavior and discipline. See, I'm not saying that we stop trying to correct behavior. I'm not saying that we stop growing and developing our child, taking an instrument, a hand in that. I'm just saying that hand you bring to that isn't a fist. It's not discipline to correct behavior. So always be in the act of behavior correction.
Yeah.
But do it from a different place that doesn't involve physical or mental abuse. Because when I hear discipline, that's what I hear. I am going to mentally shame my child to make them wish they had learned this lesson or give them motivation to learn it moving forward. It seems logical, right? You know, the risk versus reward, or not risk, punishment versus reward. But they go a whole lot more whenever you are actually spending the time to develop, not punish the behavior.
Yeah.
So if you know there's something coming up that you need to work with them on, don't wait until they've messed it up and then beat them for it. Get in front of it with instruction. And then as it messes up, this goes back to kind of what I was saying before, and you're frustrated by how they haven't learned this lesson that you want, this lesson you judged should be in their life at this time. Before you get angry at that, see if you can come from a different place for the corrective behavior. See if you can come from a place of joy. And then next thing you know, maybe you've thought of some funny game, some funny joke to correct this behavior. And then you've put a whole different emphasis on that isn't discipline, but it is a desired result out of your child's actions.
You figured that out. That this is something that's worked for you?
Yes.
You figured that out about what age did that become effective?
about 16.
Okay, yeah.
No, it's a little earlier than that, maybe 14.
Dude, you're dealing with many adults at that point in time. I mean, that's adult physics, child mind. But, I mean, you're also, like, a 16-year-old can be a very independent, go take on the world kind of person. Like, that's I feel for him at that young age because I've kind of struggled with that. How hard do I discipline? I feel like one of the areas I don't ever try to discipline in is just in some belief that they got to be like me. If I'm falling into that circle,
mm-hmm.
I think I've seen enough of those mistakes. I've felt those mistakes to realize like what I'm trying to grow are respectful, passionate children that are, I don't care what their passions are. It doesn't have to be me. In fact, I expect it won't be me. I mean, I've got three kids. I bet one of them will try to do something similar to me. I bet the other two are going to want to do their own thing. And so I try to get behind the passions and try to push into the passions. The discipline is still a challenging place for me. You know, I got to follow my own intuition and try not to be emotionally responsive to the fact that they're not listening to me is often my challenge. Like I've said something 57 times, put your shoes in your room, right? And you're just like, how many times? And so you start taking it personal, and that's when it seems to escalate, is when you feel that emotion. I mean, you could feel your face start getting red. Like, mm-hmm. you know you got one of them things brewing up inside of you, and something's about to valve off. And for me, if I can get in front of that thought, which sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, sometimes you feel like if I don't yell at them, then they're not going to know they've hit a boundary that's not acceptable. So if your four-year-old son took off running for the street for his own protection, you're going to scream and yell at him to shut him down. You want him to have an emotionally traumatic moment so he will learn not to go run into the street. And so that's a place where I've constantly struggled. Is this something that's worthy of creating an emotional spike? So I will put a conditioning defense mechanism there. Or am I reacting to my own emotions of them disrespecting me? That's so blurry for me.
It is tough. How are you protecting them? When are they fighting your authority? I had that exact scenario you talked about. And actually, I mentioned this, I think, on a Feral Friday. One of the times I learned that I wasn't really coming from the right place whenever I was in a parking lot and my son started to shoot off into the lane of traffic.
Oh, you had a little Roman candle, huh?
Yeah.
He was going out.
And then I went and got him. And then, you know, you're angry. It's like, no, ever do that again.
Yeah.
You know, that's the behavior. That's what you're supposed to do. This kid just ran from you.
Yeah.
Now you're the adult. Go beat him.
Yeah.
You know, that's
fear-based. Because you feared for the harm that nearly fell upon the child.
But that harm wasn't coming. It didn't happen. That lesson of watch out walking through didn't need to be taught actually in that moment. In truth, obviously, it needed to be a little before. But now it needs to be later whenever my emotions have calmed down.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then instead of discipline, it becomes positive corrective behavior.
Become more of a lesson rather than a traumatic experience.
Yes, yeah. It kind of comes from some of the management days, man. If you spend all your days handing out discipline to your employees, then you probably haven't trained them and motivated them well enough.
Yeah, and you're also walking around with a loaded gun. Mm-hmm. Like when you develop that discipline mindset and you have one of those moments and then somebody comes across you that just slightly steps beyond the line, you're going to run with the emotions you already had kindled from the last emotional experience.
Yeah.
So I've learned that changing settings helps. You know, get them out wherever they've thrown a fit, physically move them to another place and talk to them about something different. Just change the scene. Like if we're just progressing through scenes in our life and for whatever reason your four-year-old is having a horror scene,
mm-hmm.
pick him up and get him out of that scene and change the scene and allow him to change how he acts in the scene.
Exactly. And create his story from what he got from that scene. I like to call that putting a happy, putting a bow on it,
yeah.
Putting a happy ending on it.
Explain the horror story.
Yeah. So maybe he is exactly like you said, he's in this horror scene instead of you showing up and just adding more horror that's not understood in the time.
Yeah. It's a tricky, did I get what I want thing? Like, am I conditioning somebody because I didn't get what I want? because the root of their issue is most likely they didn't get what they want. And so it just becomes this cycle of nobody getting what they want, so we scream at each other.
Yeah.
And awareness is such a – if you can trigger awareness anywhere in there,
mm-hmm.
hit yourself with just a swift case of awareness, you can kind of stop it. But the trigger to awareness has always been one of my challenges.
Well, then the awareness will come. Like, how many times have you done it?
How old do I got to get?
Yeah, well, no, I'm saying you always do eventually get aware. And oftentimes after you look back on it, you don't feel good about what happened when you came from that place. Your awareness came. The thing is now speed that up a little quicker. Bring that awareness before you even pull the trigger on that anger.
Yeah.
And so it takes practice.
Challenging thing.
You know, your awareness might not come until a day later.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I had several anger episodes with my son. I had a couple of them running through on some what not to do's. But any of them that did come up, I was later go back and talk about it.
Yeah.
Apologize and force myself to reflect with my son.
Yeah.
And I can tell you right now, my son realizes that anytime someone gets angry, his words are, I've won. I know that they've lost emotional control, and he has seen me do it. He's been around that environment.
You taught him that.
I kind of did. Like, yeah. I taught him that how to be an immature adult,
yeah,
and now he realized he can see that immaturity in another person very easily.
Okay.
You know, that's one of the things I love.
You made an imprint on him.
It's one of the things I love about parenting. You don't have to be good at it to be effective. There's a whole lot my son has learned from me of what not to do.
Yeah,
I mean, my favorite thing I like to think about.
What does that
parenting
mean, though? What not to do? Like you that means you just quit worrying at some point in time and just accept that the kid's going to develop the way the kid develops based on.
Well, he's going to learn from you what he needs to learn from you.
Okay,
in whatever
he'll
way
take
it comes.
What he needs.
Yeah,
through his own filter.
Exactly.
All right.
That's another thing that it comes down to. Like, you know, we don't entirely have control over what our kids are going
to
do and become and say and everything else.
Yeah, they need to
run their own lives. Yeah. I love a quote, the concept that, remember, you're not trying to raise a boy. You're trying to raise a man. And you need to treat any human being on this planet with the equal respect. I'd kind of mentioned this earlier. You know, we will give grace and respect to an adult in a situation, if they make a mistake, if they knock a drink over, if they trip over something, no one ever starts yelling at that adult in some aggressive or beating them in some way. But how many times has a child made some mistake exactly like an adult would, and now all of a sudden it's lesson time? You need to be taught not to spill. You need to learn to put your shoes in the right place.
Yeah.
Whatever the lesson might be. I mean, think about how much we don't need to teach through discipline that we find ourselves going to discipline to try to teach.
You're saying the lesson's inherent in whatever action was taken and they don't need further explanation?
Well, it needs to be looked at from a reflective lens that you can put a positive bow on. Like, give them a chance to learn and grow through the experience,
yeah,
not just an injury and a beating as a result of doing it.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to really get a lesson if things get traumatic in any way. You don't learn from them because you're not going to revisit any of that. Everybody's too ashamed of how it played out. And there is a shame with that when you have those emotional outbursts that all right, I've lost control, and it's clearly evident. You'll recall I coached softball, and so like I'm intimately familiar with that.
Mm.
Like you just lose your mind, and then the awareness comes in, and man, the awareness can be that reaper you didn't want. Like all of a sudden, oh, I got to think about what I just did. Oh. And you wonder, like, why couldn't the ghost of awareness come visit me right before I blew up like that?
Oh.
And I think that's probably just a part of living. But awareness around how you parent in the moment and look for what do you want them to learn,
mm-hmm,
instead of – and that's, I think that's the heart of your moral here.
How
what
can
should
you teach
they learn
instead of punish?
Instead of how should they react? And a reaction is an emotional burst, whereas learning will – probably also help you avoid some of those pitfalls in life, but without all the loss of control that an emotional display will be. It always humbles me a little bit when I see a parent out in public losing it on a child, and you don't, it's such a, it's another one of those, what kind of hypocrisy do I want to be here? Because you know where they're coming from. You know you've done it.
Yeah.
In this moment, you're kind of thankful that they're doing it, because you're like, oh, I'm not going to do that for a while. Mm. Like, for me to act a fool, I got to have no references of foolishness around me, and then I feel free domain to act a fool.
All right, but you got me too motivated.
If I just saw another parent lose his mind, man, I'm pretty good. I'm going to be pretty good for a while. Like, that's a, like, ooh.
You learn from seeing others.
To watch that. Yeah, you don't want to be, you know, a tool of suffering for other people. And I think you see that when parents go ape on a child in a store, especially in a shopping cart. You ever see a parent, like, you get real rough in a shopping cart, and you're like, they're already in a cage.
It's a cage match with a parent.
Yeah, that's it. They're in the southeast coordinate of this 3x3 cage, and you needed to whip them to the northeast corner. Like, that's always been a puzzle to me, but I don't know.
As you were talking through that, it did. So it reminded me of my two lowest points in parenting that pop up. If we want to dive
into
going
to the basement?
Yeah, let's go there. If somebody wants to try to learn from what I had done.
Let him learn from your embarrassment.
I can't tell you enough how anything you ever do from a place of anger with your child is not going to have the result you want.
And we know that. Everybody's aware.
No matter how much.
That's not a revelation. It's when do you gain that awareness?
Well,
and how do you teach yourself?
How bad do you have to get before you do? So in the realm of the potty training world, this is a frustrating time for a parent. You really want this child to figure out where to put their excrement.
Yes.
And you're tired of dealing with it yourself. There's all these, you know, standards as to when it needs to start happening. You know, they got to get off to school. It's some pressure on it. Well, ours wasn't going as fast as I wanted it to. And there were multiple times where I hadn't done any very well with it.
You weren't trying either.
But there was one particular low point. If you can picture the scene. And it's my poor child is now there placed on the toilet because I know that he needs to. You know, you can tell that when you're trying to figure it out. They've eaten. They got something in there. And he's going. And he's crying up at me, having difficulty. And I have a shoe in one hand. And I'm yelling down at him, smacking my hand, going, put the poo-poo in the potty. Put the poo-poo in the potty. Just nothing but anger and fear coming out of me, trying to elicit this result.
The pressure, man.
Can you imagine how impossible that is?
I've never known a man to sit on the toilet and flinch, but we're going to have to ask your son at an older age when this is funny, how traumatic that made the toilet.
I hope he doesn't remember that.
Wild.
It is traumatic for me. Like, I'm surprised to this day that the kid can even complete that activity for the anger that I brought into that situation.
Man, the rest of the world was getting Cheetos or Skittles, and you were just going Tony Soprano with shoe. Get it out of you. Like,
I need to flip my parenting. I was intense.
Here's a question. Did it work?
I was intense on my kid as a toddler.
Okay, but he'd throw one down the tube or what?
At that time, no. That got me nowhere.
There's no such thing.
I would have to probably say I did not have a positive hand in my child figuring out how to work.
So eventually you got out of the way and somebody helped.
Hey, thank goodness for grandparents. Like, grandparents are the parents' savior. Yeah. You talk about that, it takes a village. Man, if it had just been me.
Yeah, they're not saving you. They're saving a child.
Man, and then you talk about those ones in public.
So, you don't see as much as you used to, though. You got to admit, that's been toned down.
Like,
you catch a dude in Monkey Wards getting a full-on beating with a belt back in the day, dude.
Yeah. I'm not the only person who's come to this awareness. We beat our children way less.
Dude, I saw spankings in dugouts. I saw, like, you just think about, you know, we've evolved. Again, you know, but there's people that are still evolving, but we are better, I think, than some of the behavior that we saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the behavior that we saw was only a product of behavior that had gotten better from their parents, and so on and so forth goes the evolution, right? And I think that's maybe what we're trying to do here in some really humble way, to say we can help evolution. Is we're all evolving as parents, and we're getting better. And we'll have these moments where we feel like we're crap, and we'll surround ourselves with parental guilt, and we're screwing this kid up, and my God, if you could only take him back to one, we'd start with a clean slate and do it all over again. We're all still evolving. And just even the fact that we're having this conversation now about when exactly we'd apply discipline, how do you do it, what's appropriate, what is the kid actually learning, it's evidence of evolution. And I think we should probably find some peace or joy or just we're all moving in the right direction.
Well, I got to tell you, part of what also definitely helped with me finding peace in my parenting is that I had the bar. Well, think about it this way. As a parent, what you're really here to do is hopefully make a better, more productive human being than what you were. I think we all are here to try to make
move it forward
as best as possible.
Yeah.
And so I got real fortunate before I even started out on the parenting journey that I had set the bar so low. By the time my kid had reached his teenage years and had already not been arrested and gotten caught doing some of the things and the bad decisions that I had, I really had a whole lot more respect. I was able to give him more grace because I can't say that I completely learned to stop judging through my own lens.
Yeah.
But as I looked at him at that age through the lens I was at, I was like, oh my gosh, look at that. He is doing better against my own bar of standards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe if we all just stop putting expectations on our kids, maybe set that bar a little lower, then it frees up some of that emotion of anger. You don't get so much of this pressure to do something to your kid to change a behavior, especially if you're starting to talk about punishing personality. It's easy to accidentally fall down that line of punishing your kid's personality because they don't fit with you.
Yeah, it's really great. And you're likely to do that if your parents did that to you. And I mean, so much of what we learn from our parents, and then we have the intersection with our spouse. And then however that combination comes together, you have parenting. But, how you were parented is heavily going. It's your model. That's how you learn it. So, anyway, anything left for Brad in Kansas City other than watch the hard water?
Man,
stay
and
out
that
of
goes
fountains.
For anybody. I hope, like you know, like we've talked about here. I feel like I'd be a whole lot better as a parent if I did it around again.
Yeah,
but I'm not. I'm done. I've let all this useful knowledge I learned from my one go, and if nothing else, I hope that this doesn't just help Brad, but millions of people with children. And maybe we'll have a world full of less discipline. Mental and physical abuse will start to go away.
All through the hands of your
hey, that's why we started
your
this podcast.
Ego or what?
It's why
you
we
just
started
solved
this thing.
All parenting problems, huh?
Yeah, remember we solved fear that one time? Like it's a ripple, but it's going to turn into a tidal wave.
Yeah, it's always good for parents to hear other parents that your frustration is not solo.
Yeah.
Like if you are a parent, you are by nature frustrated at times over what is going on with a child that you're confused about. That did I create this child? Or did the creator create this child? Like, there's so much to be, you know, it's still part of your learning lesson, too.
Oh, we all go
and
into that.
And you got to remember that at some point in time that you are still learning how to be a human, and you didn't really have the full guided tour by 25. So you get a chance to start again with another one and with a child and then screw that up. And it's all part of your evolution, too.
It's generational trauma,
yeah.
I think.
And
they
so,
call
you,
it.
As you would say, maybe Brad, just lay back and evolve, just let evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Let evolution fix your parenting and quit worrying about it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. It's
and
not just, the child. It's the parent. Somebody's got to be the adult here.
Yeah.
It's the parent.
Whatever you
stop
do.
Stop beating your kid.
Don't drag them back into a childhood that's 20 years old.
Oh, yeah.
That's not fair. That's not where they are right now. And that's the other challenging thing is your childhood is not really a good reference point for your child. New environment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, emotionally what fed you and maybe what didn't. That's a hard thing to be aware on as well. So give yourself more credit than you deserve, Brad, because you deserve any more credit. You deserve more credit than you think you deserve. So show up and act concerned, and then I think, you know, good things happen.
Showing up, that's it.
That's it. That's how you parent, or allegedly.
If you have a curiosity you would like to chase along with us, call the Thought Line at 866-340-3394. Again, 866-340-3394.